It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, September 11th. I'm Noelle King in Los Angeles, in for Ben Johnson. A lot of people watched with excitement earlier this week as Apple unveiled its new smartwatch. And one group that was probably on the edge of its collective seat, app developers. Up until now, they've mainly had the option of designing smartwatch apps for Android devices. Now the iOS space is up for grabs. Bailing Yin is a researcher at the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research. Bailing, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
So, we learned this week that Apple says it will rely on developers to make a lot of apps for the smartwatch. Does this turn into another competition between Apple and Google, but this time in the app space?
I think it's just the extension of the current competition between Apple and Google in terms of how do you get the best product, where product really is defined as not only the phone itself, but also all the complements. So far we've just seen the apps as a complement, but now we're seeing the watch as actually a complement to the phone as well.
Now that makes the developers of apps, I would imagine, a very highly sought after group. What can each side, if we view this as a competition, what can each side offer them?
The exciting stuff that's coming with the newest phones and wearable devices that are appearing today is that it can do more sensory measurement of the actual wearer. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of killer apps might arise from the ability of developers to harness these kinds of measurements.
You know, a new device like the smartwatch isn't just about resizing the current apps. It's about thinking about new uses for future technologies and then making them. How do you see developers playing into this in the next couple of years?
The important thing is, how do you completely think about a wearable device that does have some ability to measure different things than a phone that might be carried around by a person or put aside at certain times? How can you actually create something novel in terms of an app that is actually going to help the user?
Do you have any thoughts of the type of app you'd like to see on the new Apple smartwatch?
I would love to see more things related to health, actually. This is really a potentially exciting thing that could drive down healthcare costs just by helping people understand how they can take care of their health better.
It's interesting. It sounds like we could be talking about the future of how we relate to our own health data and how we share it with others, including our doctors. Bailing Yin is a researcher at the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research. Bailing, thanks so much for joining us.
Of course, it's my pleasure.
For many people across this country who live in poverty, and there are 46 million of them, getting access to medical care is a huge challenge. And there's another challenge. Researchers find it tough to gather data about what medical needs low-income people have. Traditional methods like sending a survey in the mail or good old-fashioned knocking on doors hasn't worked. So is there another method to get that information? In an article for Motherboard entitled "How the Humble Text Message Can Help Democratize Healthcare," journalist Jordan Pearson makes the case that texting could be the way forward. Jordan, thanks for being here.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me.
You write about a partnership between a community organization that works with low-income people in Detroit and researchers at the University of Michigan. Tell me first about this community that was involved. Parkside, it's called?
Parkside is a public housing complex on the east side of Detroit. It has about 750 people. Many of them, about 47%, live below the poverty line. So Friends of Parkside, this community organization, partnered with University of Michigan, researchers to find out how they can reach the members of this community to better find out their healthcare needs and get information across about finding healthcare.
All right, so the idea is not that a text message is going to heal people. The idea is that a text message is going to give healthcare workers information they need about people in this community.
That's right, yes. Text messages on themselves are probably not going to be healing illnesses anytime soon. But the real kind of sticking point here is that even if someone can't afford certain services that aren't covered under Medicaid, they are probably going to have a text messaging plan. So what the researchers thought is that this is kind of a ubiquitous, very cheap, fairly low-tech technology that is not really being utilized in terms of how to reach low-income communities. And what they found was that people seemed very excited to be able to respond to surveys and talk about their health issues in ways that they would just talk to their friends. And text messages allow people to converse very naturally about these things.
What did the researchers from UMich learn? What kinds of health concerns were there in this community?
So the questions that they kind of asked were, you know, what would you do in a medical emergency, whether it's a minor one, like, you know, having a headache, or something more major, like suddenly not being able to walk? What they found was that most people opted to, you know, stay at home, take an aspirin, aspirin will do the trick, that type of thing.
What's the next step in this process now that the proof of concept has been proved?
At the very least, what the researcher Tammy Chang from the University of Michigan had told me was that this is ready to be put to use in Parkside today. So it'll be used by friends of Parkside to get real-time, very quick feedback from people in their community about different issues, to connect people to healthcare resources and information in that community at least.
Jordan Pearson is a technology and culture journalist and a contributor to Motherboard. Jordan, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
To read Jordan's article, head to our website, marketplacetech.org. So, would you talk about your healthcare needs via text message? Tweet us at Marketplace Tech. That's our show today. I'm Noelle King, and for Ben Johnson, this is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.